Parshas Chayesara, perhaps, is the highlight of all the 10 tests that Avraham Avinu faces. Mishnah tells us in Avos, Avraham Avinu faced 10 tests. Chalikus Rishayim, what the 10 tests were. Many Rishayim are of the opinion that the final and perhaps the most difficult of the tests took place at the end of last week's parsha, known as the Akedah. There is an opinion in the Rishayim that the last and final test takes place in this week's parsha. Always in the starting of this week's parsha, Avraham Avinu has dealt with the dilemma of finding a burial plot for his wife, and he has to deal with an Ephron, a shrewd businessman, and that's the final and perhaps the most difficult test. Obviously begs the question, if that's the most difficult test, he jumped in a burning flame, he moved locations, he offered his son, they're dealing with a difficult guy in business. That was the test. Was he going to... That's what I'll get to in a second. What was the test? How many of us deal with difficult people in business every single day? That's called business. That's what we do for a living. We deal with difficult people. It's like, why exactly is this such a big nisayon? I think one of the pshatim they say over is that over here, Avraham Avinu could have said to himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I just went through a tragedy. I lost my wife, tragically, heart attack. She was my right-hand man. She was my partner. Don't kick me when I'm down. Very often in life, we look at ourselves, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've been through enough. And now you're going to add salt to the wound. Now, not only did she die tragically, now I'm going to have the runaround about trying to figure out where to bury her. Just make it easy. I suffered enough. So many times in life, we go through difficult parshas, and then right after that, it's like, boom, we get zinged again. Then we say, come on, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I understand. You got to spread it out a little bit. You know, give it to me 6 months from now. So before she explained, that's perhaps the lesson. But nonetheless, most Rishonim assume that the 10th Nisayon was this week's parsha, the very difficult Nisayon. We can all imagine it as parents. You can just think about it. What does it mean to give up a child? What does it mean for Avraham Avinu, who embodied chesed, who embodied love for everyone, who embodied a feeling of reached out to everyone? For him to do something so barbaric and so violent as killing your own son was obviously a very big nisayon. But the Meshech Chachma writes that we have to realize the reason why we today can overcome many of our nisayonis is because Avraham Avinu put it into the Bria. When Avraham Avinu was oimed on these nisayonis, he passed into all of us the ability to overcome very difficult nisayonis. And the Nesiv HaShalom writes that one of the lessons, many lessons of the Akedah, is trying to wrap your head around what is Hashem doing. On one hand, Hashem tells me, Ki Yitzhak Yikar L'Chazar. Yitzhak, he's the future. And then a minute later, he tells me, go kill him. He asks you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make up your mind. What is going on over here? So when you deal with human beings change their mind, and human beings are complicated. Hashem tells you X, then he tells you Y. You're like, what's going on? So Nesiv HaShalom says, when we're faced with a dilemma in life, where we just don't get where Hashem is going. Like what's going on over here? Yesterday you told me this, and now you're telling me this, and now you give me this implication, tomorrow you give me a different implication. Make up your mind, Hashem. What do you want me to do? That's an assignment. And that's an assignment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Teva that we have the ability to overcome. And then the Nesiv HaShalom writes in another place in his Sefer that the same way Avraham Avinu went through 10 tests, we all go through 10 tests. Mimicking, copying, obviously, hopefully, on a much lower level than Avraham Avinu went through. So perhaps, very often when we're presented with dilemmas in the raising of our children and issues of how to raise them, what to do, decisions to make, and the real ultimate, they're really nisyonis. Should we make the right decision? Will we do what's right? Will we not do what's easier? Will we not do what's more socially accepted? Right? Obviously, socially accepted wasn't take your son and kill him. As Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, Avraham Avinu didn't ask anyone about it. He asked about Mila, he asked Mamre, his friends. He didn't even bother asking his friends about this. This is way out there. It wasn't socially accepted to go kill your son. But Avraham Avinu did what was right. Many times in life, as parents, we have to make decisions that are often difficult, but we're really fulfilling the idea of the Akedah by making the decisions which we assume is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. But
being tested all the time. I mean,
oh,
being a Jew is being tested.
100%. Yeah, that's... Yeah, they were definitely older. We daven every day. We shouldn't have them, but our lives are full of tests. Every moment, everything in life is a test. Every time you deal with anyone in work, business, walk the streets, everything is in a sign.
Keep questioning on the concept
of 10. Right? I guess the massive biggies, maybe it's like that. But I think there's a lesson from the parasha that's often overlooked by many. Right? We all know it's called Akedas Yitzchak. Yet it was Avraham Avinu's test. Avraham Avinu was the one who gets the credit. And we tap into this every year. If you look at the Rosh Hashanah davening, we pull this card every year and we milk it for all it's worth. Like the Akedah, and Hashem, the Akedah, and the Akedah. Like, Hashem, don't forget the Akedah. You know, give me a good year this year because of the Akedah. And what was the Akedah? Avraham Avinu was Maaseh Nefesh, but there's another part of the Akedah. Yitzchak was 37 years old. He was no slouch. He was a big boy. Yitzchak was an adult. And when Yitzchak finally realized what was going on, Yitzchak tells his father, do me a favor, Dad, when we get there, tie me down. That's why it's called the Akedah. because he wanted to be bound. He told his father, he said, listen, Dad, I'm a very practical person. I know that if you don't bind me down, I'm going to move, I'm going to flinch, I might move around. So tie me down, this way I don't move, this way I don't passel the carbon. So if you think about it, who was a very active part in the Akedah was not just Avraham Avinu, but of course it was Yitzchak as well. So the question then is where did Yitzchak get the power? Where did Yitzchak have the strength to do this? So we mentioned this in the Chumash on Wednesday night, that the answer was because Avraham Avinu had a very special, unique style of chinuch, which is what we're supposed to glean from the parsha. We learned at the beginning of the parsha that Avraham Avinu wasn't sure what to do about Bris Milah. So he went to speak to all his friends, Onur, Eshkol, and Mamre, and Mamre told him to go do the mil. So everyone has the kasha. What do you mean he had to ask advice from Mamre? Avraham Avinu was a loyal follower of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So many say that he was afraid, how is he going to convince his family? How is he going to convince all his servants? How is he going to convince his Yilid Beisoy to do the mila? To which Mamre told him, if you do it, they'll follow. Which means Mamre taught Avraham Avinu the lesson in life for Chinuch is to lead by example. If you do, they will do. Don't give speeches and don't give drushes and don't wag your finger at people. That doesn't motivate people. What motivates people and perhaps one's children even more so is by leading by example. When a person leads a lifestyle that is a reputable lifestyle, a person leads a Torah lifestyle, you don't need to give all the speeches to your kids about doing getting up for Shachmas in the morning and making sure you kaveh itim. If you're kaveh itim, if you get up in the morning and you go to learn and you go to a shir and you don't talk during the evening, they will follow suit. They say over a famous story about a 5-year-old boy that finally got to be the Shabbos Abba. Right, my daughter is in one of these preschools. She was Shabbos Ima. It's a big deal to be the Shabbos Abba Ima, whatever gender you're from. It's a big deal. You got to bring in snacks. Or whatever. Today it's politically correct. But you get to bring in snacks and you get to get. So this little kid shows up. He's the Shabbos Abba. So he's all dressed up. He's decked out in his finest. He sits down at the Shabbos table and he goes, "Oh, what a week." 5-year-old kid. That's his introduction to the Shabbos table. 5-year-old kid. That's what he hears every Friday night. His father sits down at the table, and that's how he starts the Shabbos. I'll tell you a true story that happened to Mamas this Friday night. This Friday night, as we all know, we changed the clocks. We changed the clocks 2 weeks ago, but I wasn't home, so this is the first week I was home. We changed the clocks, so now you have a very long Friday night. So, by the time the suit was over, it was 7 o'clock, 7:30, whatever it was. So my wife was putting the baby to sleep, so I figured I have some time to learn. So I took out a safe, I started learning. All of a sudden, I see my daughter, she's 11. She thought she's going to take out a chumash, she's going to start learning. So she started learning. My 6-year-old son said, oh, he's going to start learning also. So he takes out his chumash.
The same thing happened in my house.
We had like a besmerish going. My wife comes down after putting the baby to sleep. She's like, what happened over here? It turned into a besmerish. But then it was a shtickle shaloi lishma, because then my son was told he has to go to sleep and he wanted to continue learning. So he said, now I know learning is not lishma anymore. Now you're just doing it to stay up later. But the idea is so true. We lead by example. And again, it's true for parents, it's true for grandparents, it's true in the working world, it's true everywhere. If you want to motivate people, they do much better with seeing you than hearing speeches from you. And we live in a political world where it's the exact opposite. It's do what I say, not as I do. In the Jewish world, it's the reversal. It's follow what I do. You want to show, you want to teach your children. So Avraham Avinu taught his son Yitzchak how to live a life by not giving him speeches, by watching him. He saw his father lived a life of Mesiris Nefesh. His father lived a life of dedication. And that's what Nissen Alpert writes.
By the way, who says that word?
I forgot already. I remember.
Because it's like Shimon Schwab on, you know, by...
Famous as Shimshin. Right. Shimon Schwab says it by Shimshin. So Nissen Alpert says, that's Pshan in the Pasuk. If Nissen Alpert says, if you think about it, why is it always Avraham Avinu's the son? It should really be Yitzchak. Says with Nissen Alpert, no, it was Avraham Avinu's the son. You know why? Because when our children are placed in the Nisayan, and we want to know if they're going to overcome it, it's a test on us. It's a test on what type of chinuch did we give our children. If Yitzchak was going to pass the test, it's going to depend upon what was his upbringing by Avraham Avinu. What did he learn from Avraham Avinu? Did he learn from Avraham Avinu how to be Ma'aseh Nefesh or not? So it says in this Albert beautifully. Although Yitzchak might have been the person that was going to be shechted, but the test is reflective on the upbringing of Yitzchak in his father's house by Avraham Avinu. So therefore, that's why it's always labeled the Nisayin of Avraham Avinu, even though it was Akedas Yitzchak. But I think there's one more knesh, perhaps, to what made Yitzchak who he was. As we know in the beginning of the parasha, the Malachim come and they say, Ayei Sarei Ishtecha. Where is Sarah? So Rashi says, why were they asking Yisrael Ishtecha? So she was trying to bring Chiba Labaila. She was trying to remind Avraham Avinu, you should know you have a very special wife. So Rav Pam asked the question, Avraham Avinu and Sarah were married for 70 years at this point. We can assume their Shalom Bayis is whatever it's going to be at this point. They're not going for counseling at this point. So Avraham Avinu needs to hear a compliment about his wife. You know, I think that we're past that, right? People assume you're married that many years, they've been through the ups and the downs, and they had a very difficult relationship. They were never unable to have children, they had an issue with Hagar, and they had an Ishmael. They had a complicated marriage nonetheless, but, you know, we would assume that 70 years, compliments are not really going to move the needle too much. Says Rav Palm, and the same Vart is recorded, I heard B'Shem Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that's not so. The Torah is teaching us that Shalom Bayis is not something that's only for the first 6 months of marriage, or the first 2 years of marriage, or before you have kids, or before things get complicated. Shalom Bayis is a long, invested idea that people have to work on their entire married life, even though you're married for many years, you're constantly working on improving your marriage. That's the famous Vav from Rav Palm. But I want to add that maybe that's the nekuda of what made a Yitzchak. Maybe when a child grows up in a happy, healthy environment, it's much easier to be an Eved Hashem. When the parents are respecting of each other, and they compliment each other, and they show respect to each other, then a child can grow up in a healthy environment, then they can merit, perhaps it's much easier to be able to do the Ratzon Hashem. But I think there's one more step. There's the Kliyakar on that pasuk. The Kliyakar says, where is Sarah? So he quotes a Gemara. The Gemara says that Avraham Avinu was asked where Sarah is. And then the reverse, they asked Sarah where Avraham Avinu is. So ask the Kliyaka, where Avraham Avinu is? He's right here. How can you miss him? So the Kliyaka says, no, they were asking, what madriga are you holding? Where are you holding spiritually? So the answer to Sarah was, she's still her Tzenua. She's the same Tzari Meinu, that Tzenua living that lifestyle. And Avraham Avinu is still the same Machnas Archim. But perhaps the question is a deeper question. We live in a world today where very often the roles get very reversed and mixed up. Fathers become mothers, mothers become fathers, husbands become wives. No one gets clear what their role is. Because many people think that if I have my job as a mother and a wife, that takes away from me being a woman. Which is obviously not the Torah's outlook. The Torah disagrees with that premise. The Torah believes in a separate but an equal of importance role. So the lesson the Kliyakar is telling us that the answer was no. Sarah is still Tzenua, and she hasn't yet become Avraham Avinu. She's still not front and center and covered. But, nonetheless, everyone realizes their role. Avraham Avinu realized his role as the Machnas Archim. Sarah realized her role as a Tzenua. And that's the success. When children grow up in homes where they get these conflicting messages where mother wants to be the father, the mother wants to be the one to give the shame, the father wants to be the one to, you know, to nurse the baby, everyone's all confused. No one knows which way is up anymore. We have to realize, everyone has to understand their purpose in this world. Now, both essential. We mentioned this from Rabbi Soloveitchik Wednesday night. Both equally essential. But very often in life, we cross paths, and everyone doesn't understand what they're supposed to be doing. When you don't understand what you're supposed to be doing, and the wife thinks she's supposed to be the rabbi, and she's supposed to be the one reading from the Torah, we get ourselves into trouble. What made Yitzchak so successful, perhaps, was that it was clear-cut, defined roles. Everyone understood what they were supposed to do, and everyone respected each other. When there's mutual respect and understanding of everyone's roles, then one has a chance to raise a child in a healthy environment that can produce someone like Yitzchak. And that's what we find in the beginning of this week's parsha. When we find the life of Sarah, find the famous comment by the Noi de Behuda. I heard he said this at his own wife's levaya. Find a very strange passage at the beginning of the parasha. Yavai Avram the spoil the Sarah of Avram came to eulogize Sarah and to cry over her. So the obvious question is, why does it say Lasara? We've been talking about Sarah for the last two psukim. Why is it repeated? So the Noi de Behuda says, because don't think that Sarah's godless was because she was married to Avram Avinu. Very often women get labeled. Their claim to fame is their husband is a great person. No, Sarah was an independently great person. I didn't come to be maspid Ashes Avraham. I didn't come to be maspid the Rebbetzin. I came to be maspid Sarah, the person who is Sarah, her own defined characters, her own greatness, her own specialty. And therefore, that's why the Torah singled out the word Lasara. I'm not coming just because very often women get, you're the wife of him. No, you are your own person. She was her own individual person, and Avraham Avinu recognized that. And he respected that. And perhaps that's why, when they each have a clear respect for each other, then in such a house, one can raise someone like a Yitzchak that's able to be oimid on such a difficult nesoyin like the Akid. Okay. Continuing on over here in the sugya, Blinette, this should be the last shir on this part of Mila. Then we're going to move on to real Mila. We're going to talk about Tzitzit HaMa'akvin. We're going to get into real nitty-gritties, some of the Inyani HaMila. So we left over here, we're holding over actually a new Gemara, Daf Kuflam at Gimel Amar Aleph. For those that are keeping track of where we're holding in the Masechta, we're holding over here Kuflam Gimel Manav. Zokti Gemara Amar Mar. Yom Tif Eine Deiche Ela Bizmane Bovad. The Gemara says a Chiddush that we know a Mila on the eighth day can be performed on Shabbos. A Mila on the eighth day can be performed on Yom Tif. But a Mila Shaloi Bizmane, if the baby was not Gemalt on the eighth day for whatever reason, then that Mila does not take place on Shabbos, and that Mila does not take place on Yom Tov either. Mila Shloi Bezmanoi is Eina Derechet Yom Tov. The Gemara has what we call an interesting question. Menon Mila. In fact, Gemara, how do you know a Mila Shloi Bezmanoi is not Derechet Yom Tov? So the real question should be is, why should it be? You have to start off with an assumption to explain why it's not that way.
What's the answer?
Oh, okay, good. So we're going to talk about...
And then
so we talked about it many, many times in the past that there's quite a big discussion amongst the Rishonim. What is... For Shabbos, then we'll have to talk about Yom Tov, because what's the Nakuda that everyone's going to talk about today? Because of? This is what we're going to have to deal with a little bit today, is that if you assume, like many Rishonim, that the whole Isser of Mila on Shabbos is Al Shaychet, you're allowed to Shechten Yom Tov. So if you're allowed to Shechten Yom Tov, we follow the rule of Beis Hillel, Mitoich. Well, so it depends. If you hold this Makkah B'Patish, then you're in big trouble. If you hold this Makkah B'Patish, you're stuck. If you hold this Kaitzer, you're stuck. If you hold this Goizes, or if you hold it Sheikhet, then you have a Kash. So we'll talk about all these in Yonam, hopefully, at some point.
Not to mention the Tuesday night share, where we'll be with Chalamot, same thing. Because we did say it's a dinner yonder.
Right, so Chalamot, you would be allowed to, because we know we won't make all these types of things for Chalamot.
That's
why. Chalamot, Pashtas.
Not according to Chazanish, no.
No, that's not true. Chalik is Rishonim.
Right.
Big Machalik is Rishonim, yeah. It's not clear.
I personally think
Libi Noit, I think the Mr. Brewer holds, I think the Mr. Brewer holds it is Daraisa. But okay, we'll deal with this. But that's the question. So the Gemara wants to know, Minar and Mila, how do you know that Mila Shalei Bezman is not Dechi Yom Tov? How do you know if you have a baby that's, let's say the baby's sick, and it's jaundice, and it's not able to get Mila till the ninth day, and the ninth day happens to be the first day of Yom Tov? So the Gemara says you push off the Milo, you can't do it on Yom Tov. In fact, the Gemara minan emili, om achizkiyo v'chintan de bechizkiyo makro, lo yisasim imenu ad boiker. This is the pasuk found in Parshas Boy, I think. Bishalch? Yeah, Bishalch. He's right. No, he's right. It's when Klai Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Now this one's in... This is talking about by Korban Pesach. This is by Korban Pesach. I think it's in Boy.
This is in Boy.
No, this is in Korban Pesach. Yeah, this is by Korban Pesach. When Klai Yisrael got the first tzivoy for Korban Pesach. Let's check it out.
This one's in Boy.
This is when they got the tzivah for the Korban Pesach. So it says in the pasuk, "Lo yisasim imenu ad boiker." It says you're not allowed to leave over till the morning. That's the end of the pasuk. And if you leave it over until the morning, ba'esh tisroif, you burn it in fire. That's the pasuk in Boy. This is the pasuk over here. Yud beis yud alf. So the Gemara is bothered. Ma tamad loy mir ad boiker. What's the second ad boiker? It's repetitive. Obviously, if you left it over till the morning, it's going to be the morning. So why does it say ad boiker? Says the Gemara, because the pasuk is referring to the second morning. Meaning, again, we're talking about it's Erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach, you shech the Korban Pesach. You eat the Korban Pesach the night of Leil Yudal. Then, if you leave it over to the morning of Tezvav, that's the first boiker. You don't burn it that morning, because that morning is Yom Tov. You're not allowed to burn Kachim on Yom Tov. Then you burn it the next morning. So how do you read the pasuk? Loises imenu ad boiker. Don't leave it over to the morning of Tezvav. V'hanois imenu. And if you did leave over, ad boiker until the morning, but HSRF, you burn it on the next morning. Burn it on the morning of Tezayin, which is Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, because you're not allowed to burn Kachim on Yom Tov. So we learn from over here that you're not allowed to burn Kachim on Yom Tov. So the obvious question is, what does burning Kachim on Yom Tov have to do with a Mila Shalei Bezman? He says, like Rashi 1b, She'ein tamad loymer ad boiker tinyona, the second ad boiker. V'hanoyse menu ad boiker, the matzah mechtav, could have just written, V'hanoyse be'esh tisreifu. We know what you left over. You left it over until the morning, and therefore burn it. Ela asreifakai, it's not referring to what you left over, but it's referring to the timing of the burning. V'ochi kamar, v'hanoyse menu bizman shasarti l'cha, if you left over at the time when I prohibited it, dahainu, boiker rishon, that's the first morning, kishiyava, boiker sheni, when the second morning arrives, shuhu chalu shomoy tisfu, that's when you should burn it. So when does the mitzvah to burn noiser? It's not on the morning of Yom Tov, you're not allowed to burn noiser on Yom Tov. When do you burn it? You burn it the next morning, which is cholamay. Or today, it's not again chutzlars, but we burn it on the second day, because we have the second day Yom Tov. Avol b'Yom Tov lo, you're not allowed to burn it on Yom Tov. Why not? Doesn't say Joshua. You're not allowed to burn kachim on Yom Tov. Now, why would I think you're allowed to burn kachim on Yom Tov? Asay de chalais asay. You have an asay of ba'esh tisreifu. You have a lav of Yom Tov. So we have a classic rule. Asay de chalais asay. So this is going to be a big discussion. Is Yom Tov asay and alois asay, or Yom Tov might be alois asay and an asay?
But don't they come at the same time? How are they coming here at the same time?
What do you mean the same time? You have a mitzvah to burn it. Right? You have mitzvah to burn
it.
Yom
Tov is the whole day.
And Yom Tov is constant. So the assumption would be the mitzvah to burn it is immediately. So I have to burn it right now. But Zakhti Gemara, no. Alvav Yom Tov loy, almo Zakhti Gemara, midi de choyl, something which is weekday based, loy avdina b'yom tov. You're not allowed to do it in Yom Tov. Now, why is noiser weekday based? U Pesach korban yudal benisanu. Zakhti, because when is the right time for the korban? When is the korban, again, not eaten? We don't eat the korban on yudalit. We shecht it on yudalit. Shehu choyl. It's considered a weekday because you were makrivit on the choyl on Erev Pesach. And how do you look at a milah shel bezmane? I mean, the bris should have really been before Yom Tov, and now it's only Yom Tov due to uncontrollable situations. So that's like a chol experience. So we learn from here, midi de chol hu. It's considered a chol hu. Dim shabezu loy hayizmane. It really should be Yom Tov loy hayilazmane. So therefore, says the Gemara, we learn now from here that the same way I'm not allowed to bring kachim on Yom Tov, I'm not allowed to do a milah shel bezmane on Yom Tov. Okay, that's the first drash of the Gemara. What's the second drash of the Gemara? Says the Gemara, Abaya Omar. Omar Kor says in the pasuk, Oyla Shabbos b'Shabbatoy. You bring the Oyla of Shabbos on Shabbos. V'loy Oylas Choyl b'Shabbos, but not the Oyla of Choyl on Shabbos. V'loy Oylas Choyl b'Yom Tov. You don't bring the Oylas Choyl on Yom Tov. What's this drasha? Zagrashi. Evorei Tomet Shel Erev Yom Tov. You have the bones of the carbon Tomet that's brought on Erev Yom Tov. Ain't carbon b'Yom Tov. You can't bring that on Yom Tov. Again, we're looking at Milosh Bezmane as really, it's in the wrong time. It should really be done yesterday. Now, there's a Shittim Kubetz and Brachas that talks about why should it have been done yesterday? If the baby was jaundice, then it really shouldn't have been done yesterday. It's only talking about, it could be, again, there's two cases of Milosh Bezmane: negligence, or lack of a mile, or it was impossible because the baby wasn't Roy Lekach. So we keep on talking about, we keep on saying, well, this should have been done before. Why should it have done before? If the baby was yellow, it couldn't have been done before.
Yeah, because the exam is the custom of Vishnonis Yomri. That's why.
Yeah, that
the fact that you weren't.
Could be. So that might be a machloekit Rishon. The Shittim Kubetz sounds like he assumes that the whole Torah over here is because you could have and you were negligent. So the Ach Samech makes a diuk.
Is that the first period of time that you can do it, you have
that's
to
right.
Do it
right. Right. So the Ach Samech says, Lafizet should come out. Let's say, for example, the eighth day fell out on Shabbos. How does he set it up? He sets it up a different way. He says that if it was unable to be done earlier, so then it's not a taina on you that Yom Tov is, it's Shalab Zmanah Kam Yom Tov. It was unable to be done earlier. So if it was unable to be done earlier, you can't tell me it's not the Zman, it is the Zman, because there was no other pre-existing earlier time. That's the second drasha of the Gemara. And this is the last drasha, second drasha, Rav Amar.
And what's the Isser on Yom Tov to do a bris?
We're going to talk about it. So presumably whatever you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, either the cutting,
lots of things
good. Good. So we're going to get to that.
The name of the korban, it's cooking.
That's right. That's what we're going to talk about today. Why wouldn't it be mutter under other halachic rules like mitoich and other things? We'll be able to hopefully get to that a little later today. Rav Omar, Omar Karav is another drasha. Hu levado yeasel lachem. That's the pasuk where the Torah permits oichel nefesh. So the Torah says this alone. So the drasha goes hu volei machshivin. You're not allowed to do any preparatory things on Yom Tov, right? You're not allowed to fix an oven on Yom Tov. You're only allowed to cook in an oven on Yom Tov because that's called machshive. That's the stage before the actual food that's preparing the food. Levadoi, and from the word levadoi, what do I learn? Volei milus lebezmane. Why? The ase bekavachemer. So Rashi explains there would have been a kavachemer over here to explain that milus lebezmane should have been doich Yom Tov. Why? Because we know that Milosh Lebezmanoi beats out Tsaras. And we know Tsaras beats out Avoidah. So therefore, I would have assumed that maybe Milosh Lebezmanoi beats out Yom Tov. So therefore, I need a special Xeris HaKosav Lachem, that Milosh Lebezmanoi does not beat out Yom Tov. That's Xeris HaKosav. Why is that true? We'll see Blined Rashi in a few minutes. Then the Gemara is the last Drasha.
How many things could we learn out of Lachem? Lachem
yeah, the Gemara is this Drasha. And the Gemara deals with this in Beya. That we back and forth. Lachem like, the Gemara tries to figure out how everything works. The Gemara, I think, works with this. The Gemara tries to figure out how to make everything work. Then we have the last teretz, and this is what we need to talk a lot about. Rav Ashi Omar, Shabboson Asehu. Says Rav Ashi, the Kasha never gets off the ground because Yom Tov has an Aseh as well. V'havale Yom Tov Aseh v'lois Aseh. And therefore, that makes Yom Tov now an Aseh and a Lois Aseh. Oh, an Aseh and a Lois Aseh. We have a good old-fashioned rule. The Ein Aseh Doiches Lois Aseh V'Aseh. We know that an Aseh loses out if it goes up against a Lois Aseh and an Aseh. Aseh versus a Lav, we have the principle Aseh Doiches Lois Aseh. But Zogdi Gemara, no, the Havamina was that Yom Tov was merely a Lav. Lois Aseh Melocha. Now that we know it's not true, now we know Yom Tov is an Aseh as well. So now Yom Tov is an Aseh, no Lois Aseh. Milo is only an Aseh. So Ein Aseh, Doich Lois Aseh V'Aseh.
What's the Aseh by Yom Tov again?
Shabboson. The Gemara says Shabboson, to rest. Rest means don't do malacha. So now I know there's an iser asay to do malacha. I have a lav as well. So now Yom Tif is asay of alois asay versus asay of meal. That's the maskaras
hagemar. One thing where Shabbos is an asay, but alois asay, right?
Shabbos also has perhaps alois asay, right?
So, but according to this, but one thing, but how about if the asay, does anyone say maybe the asay is not as strong because you were a pesher or you couldn't do it, so therefore it's not really a fair asay against the alois asay? In other words, when it's not a milah shelo bezmano, you know, maybe the asay is not as strong. You know what I'm saying? Because
so there's a similar idea that we're going to see later from the Turk Tamima, where he talks about differently. He talks about the asay of kachim, maybe a different asay because the asay only came about because you were negligent. Maybe if you have an asay, I mean, there's two types of an asay.
No, I mean the asay of bris b'shmini is stronger than the asay of bris that's daicha. You know that you do it on the tenth or lamte because we always learned that the asay is better.
No, it's the same asay. The asay of mila doesn't change. The eighth day is a hidra mitzvah. The mitzvah of mila is still the asay. That's true forever.
In other words, it's the exact same mitzvah whether you do it on the 8th or the 15th.
So we're going to have to talk about the dvar rumbly, and then we'll talk about what happens if there's a bitl mitzvah asay. Every minute you delay it, we'll have to work that into the sugya as well.
Done through negligence or done through the
chola. So we mentioned before the Shittim Kubetzis has such a possibility where he wants to be mechalik, but pashtus it shouldn't make a difference.
No sir, negligence.
Yes, we're going to see in a second. The Tractimim is going to bring that out. It's a good point. Yeah.
We're looking ahead.
What do you mean?
Didn't we say that
yes.
Is stronger.
Oh, good. Hold on. We're going to get there in 2 seconds.
And yet here, though, we're dealing with a Yom Tov, which the whole lav is Malkus, as opposed to Shabbos, which is...
Okay, good. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. If everyone remembers, it was a Taisvus that we talked about a while back. We're going to get schlepped back into Mila B'Tzaras again. Okay, so we're going to bring that Sugi back and work it all out. So the Maskaras HaGemara... We go forward and go backwards. Okay. So what ends up happening over here, the Maskaras HaGemara, we have four terutzim in the Gemara to why a Mila Shalei Bezman is not Dechi Yom Tov. And the Chairo, what's most relevant to us is the last answer, is Ravashi. Because Ravashi dropped a huge chiddush on us. According to Ravashi, every Yom Tov has an asay and a lois asay. We have a rule, ein asay dech a lois asay v'asay. The $1 million question is, if everyone agrees to Ravashi, who needs the first three answers? It sounds like from the Gemara that not everyone agrees to Ravashi. Meaning, Ravashi was the minority opinion. He came up with this chiddush that Yom Tov is an asay also, and everyone else disagrees with him. The first three answers of the Gemara.
Not everybody agrees that Yom Tov is an asay and a lois asay.
No, they don't.
Agree. Not everybody agrees. That
asay
is
docha. No. Everyone agrees that ain't asay docha lois asay vasay. The question just is Yom Tov really
there,
right?
There is,
so the simple reading of this Gemara would lead one to conclude that Ravashi was the only one who came up with this novel chiddush. Mm-hmm. Everyone else disagreed
because have a different definition for Shabbaton.
They must, right? Because if they were to agree to him, this is probably the clearest, perhaps easiest answer on the simplest level. Now, if you assume like Ravashi, then the Gemara's kasha was very geshmak. Menar and Emil, the Gemara had a great question. The Gemara in the Havamina thought Yom Tov was merely a lois asay. So if Yom Tov is merely a lois asay, the Gemara has a great question. Asay docha lois asay, it should taka be that way. So the Gemara answers, no, it's not true, because Yom Tov is taka a lavel. So it's asay versus lois asay va'asay.
What's the asay of Yom Tov?
Shabbosan. Says one should rest. So rest means it's a positive way of saying don't do something. So that's the Gemara calls that an asay.
Right?
No, if the asay of Mila versus the asay and lav of Yom Tov.
Is it possible that the asay of Mila is an exception to that rule?
Ah, good. We're going to get to
If you don't have your Mila, if you don't have your
good, okay.
Yisrael, then none of it matters.
So this is something we need to talk about. What's unique about the asay of Mila? So if you look over in number in the Rashi's. There is a Rashi over here which we need to come back to later. We'll just see it now. The question is, when you finish this whole Gemara, so why don't you ask yourself the following question? What about Mila Bismana and Yom Tov? Why am I allowed to do a Mila Bismana and Yom Tov? I'm not allowed to do a Mila Shlei Bismana and Yom Tov because Ein Asay Docha Lois Asay. And a Mila Bismana is what? Same problem. So if you look in Rashi, a very important Rashi. If you look in Rashi over here, Rashi the Ramaskal of Ein Asay on the right side 1b, the Rashi of Ein Asay, the mila doichi lois asay vasay avol bismanoi. But Zakrashi, if this mila would be bismanoi, it's rabbi mi b'yoyim afilu bi b'shabbos. That's including the same heter that you're allowed to do a mila b'shabbos. And Rabbeinu Chananel writes it's a kal v'chomer. And therefore, Zakrashi, why you allowed to do a mila bismanoi on Yom Tov? That's because it's including the pasuk of b'yoyim hashmini. To which Reb Kiva Eiger and other people have a kasha. Yom Tov, why can't you just say the good old fashioned mitoich? That should be Mitoich on the Mila Bismana, which we'll get to in a second. Right, okay, good. So clearly from Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, the reason why you're allowed to do a Mila B'Yom Tov Bismanoi is because the same reason why I'm allowed to do a Mila Bismanoi on Shabbos. Same thing. No, I just means over here. He means to say is that if you're allowed to do, mean the Torah says biyam hashmini, which means shmini means no matter what. So if it means that for Shabbos, it means that for Yom Tov also. Yeah. But we pass them like Beis Hillel.
Still, though.
We'll get to it. Yeah, oh, believe me, we'll get to it. I don't know. I thought today, but I don't know anymore. But okay, we'll get to it at some point. It's a school. Whatever I put down on the sheet, I don't get to. It's an amazing school I have. Whatever I put down, I never get to it. So
is
that's
why you write Shir Nun Beis every week?
No.
Last week was Nun Beis.
No, still. Last week was Nun Aleph.
Are you sure?
I double checked before I wrote it.
Okay.
I did it late at night. So
this way we don't feel so bad.
It was late at night, so it could be all bets are off. But in any case, so this is something Nakud that we have to speak about. So again, the question is, what was the Hava meaning more? So if you look in the Ran, and number two over here, the Ran speaks like we just said. Pirush, the Kosaka Dai Techash, the Yom Tev Loisa Se Gredahu. The Havamin of the Gemara to why should Mila Shalab Ismana be Dechi Yom Tev? Again, the Gemara walks over to Kasha. Why isn't Mila Shalab Ismana Dechi Yom Tev? So we ask, the question should be the other way. Why should it be? Give me a proof, give me a reason it should be. So Zakhtar Ran, I'll tell you why. Because if you, the assumption of the Gemara was that it's only a Loisa Se, and therefore, just like the Gemara says by Sreifas Kachim, the same Gemara that we have over here is found on Shabbos Daf Chavdal Amid Beis, in the second parak of Shabbos, where the Gemara says, you're not allowed to bring Kachim and Yamtif. The Gemara is the same Kasha. Why can't you bring Kachim and Yamtif? So Rashi's bothered with the Kasha. Why should you be allowed to burn Kachim and Yamtif? So Rashi explains, because the Havim of the Gemara was that burning that Yamtif is only Alois Asay, and burning Kachim is an Asay. So you have the same Havim in Asay, the Chalois Asay, to which according to Rashi, the Gemara's answer was no. Ein asay doich alois asay vaasay, because over here it's not just an alois asay, it's an asay as well. The Urayim, one of the great Rishayim, the Urayim writes like this: the Urayim is of the opinion that we should say mitoich by Mila Shalei Bezmane. Right, we know there's Macholik Bisham Beisil in Beya Dafid Beis, whether or not we say mitoich that something is mutra and yomtav l'tzerich, it's mutra even shalei l'tzerich. That's the Gemara in Beya Dafid Beis and Aleph. The mission over there talks about carrying things, carrying a lulav and carrying a baby, and things that are carried that they really are mutter for l'tzerich. I can even extend them shalei l'tzerich. So the question over here is, can I say that if I'm allowed to do malach on yomtav l'tzerich, I'm allowed to shech the cow on yomtav, so why can't I cut a mila? Mitoich shehotcho l'tzerich, chotcho nami shalei l'tzerich. So the Urayim thinks, of course you could. Avada, this is considered a tzarech. He thinks spiritual things are as much tzarech as physical things. If I'm allowed to cut a cow to eat it, I'm allowed to cut off a mila to become a ben Yisrael. I'm allowed to cut off to become part of Klal Yisrael. Bein bizmane ben shaloi bizmane. So then Yireim has a question. So how do you learn this Gemara?
Yeah.
So this Gemara is a big problem. So Zog the Yireim.
That's why you need these things.
Oh, exactly. Says the Yireim, that's exactly the Chiddush. Me the Havim, the Gemara was, it should be mutter on the Mitoich. Kamashma, we don't say Mitoich over here. But why not? Zog the Yireim, number three. We mentioned before that the same Gemara that we have is repeated in the Gemara in Shabbos. Over there, it's talking about Sreifas Kachim. Don't learn that from these psukim a rule what constitutes tzairich oichal nefesh or what constitutes mitoich. Says the Urayim, these are three exceptions to the rule. All these three things, in theory, should have been permitted under the banner of mitoich, but they're not. So why don't we learn that from here to redefine mitoich, says the Urayim? No. Our definition of mitoich is still right. These are the three exceptions. So most of us would have assumed, if I have three exceptions, that now should redefine how I define the rule. Says the Urayim, no. This is Eim Alamdin. These are unique, strange cases. But my rule is still the same. I believe that the definition of mitoich is spirituality is also mitoich. So burning kachim is spiritually. Says the Urayim, that's mitoich. Giving a mila, that's mitoich. So if it's mitoich, why is it not mutter? Well, because the Torah said it's not. That's not mean. You would say that someone would say, well, why don't you look deeper and say, well, what's the Torah trying to teach you about the lumbus over there? He says, no, I'm not in the spall. I think my lumbus is still correct. I think it's a rule that the Torah is saying. It doesn't work. And it's Eim Alamdin. Don't learn out from here, L'chol HaTorah Kula. And he writes, Kedamina B'Kedushin, Vahidi Shabbos Parashi, Dabai V'Rav Aloi Pligi Atanat B'Chizkiya. Second Chiddush from the Urayim. There's not a machlokes over here between Abai and Rava. Those were the ones who gave other terutzim in the Gemara. And the final teretz of the Gemara, which is Rav Ashi. They tell the time of the last say what they to say because you know why Aliba de Beishamai Kamar. He only said that because he's doing like Beishamai and Beishamai less lay mitoich. Beishamai doesn't hold of mitoich. So if you don't hold of mitoich, so you can't justify it under mitoich. We have a classical machloek is Beisham Beisil whether or not we say mitoich. Beisil says yes mitoich. Beishamai says no mitoich. So says the Urayim. You know why they had to come up with all these creative answers? It's because they don't have mitoich. But if they would hold of mitoich, pull mitoich out and use it right away. The reason why Rav Ashi had to start coming up with creative ideas of Asay Dechalaisa was because he doesn't hold of Mitoich.
How can they hold of Beishama?
Yeah, Doesn't why the Bayah say straight out that halachas like
Beis Hillel? Yeah, so Rashi's still allowed to hold away. It doesn't mean we pass like Rashi. Same way Rabbi Eliezer held, he allowed to do Machshir Mila on Shabbos, and his community used to do it. We still don't pass like him. But right. That's Rashi. Now, this is going to be important for us to remember going back to the Sugya, that Rashi didn't hold of Mitoich. If you hold that Rav Ashi didn't hold Mitoich, remember I told you before that Rashi said in Reb Ashi that why are you allowed to have a Mila B'yomtev B'zmanoi? Because it's included in the Pasuk of B'yom.
It's only the Uraim's opinion, though.
It's the Uraim's opinion. Now,
like
but if you hold that, if that's true, so we had a Kasha, we're going to see later with the Kasha, why don't you just say Mitoich to justify a Mila B'zmanoi? Teretz is, but according to this, there is no Mitoich because we're going in Reb Ashi, and Reb Ashi is going in Beishamai. Beishamai doesn't have Mitoich. So that's what Rashi had to say. The reason why Amila Bezmana is mutter is not because of Mitoich. Amila Bezmana is mutter because it's included in the Joshua B'yom HaShemini.
If you don't hold Mitoich, you don't need any of these drachos here.
If you don't hold of Mitoich, no, that's the point. That's the point. No, we tried.
Mitoich was allowed.
No.
We have to know why it's not allowed.
Right, that's
Mitoich is not allowed off the bat.
Right, that's what he's saying. So that's why Rashi had to come up with all these creative terutzim and start to talk about. No, I would have permitted. No, that's the thing. I would have permitted it under the banner of Asei Dechalois Asei. That's what he's saying. That's what we... Meaning, he's saying, why does Rav Ashi start talking about these creative lumdises of Asei Dechalois? Work the Mitoich angle. So says the Yireim, Hakach Ein Lanu, Aval Abaye V'Rava, but Abaye and Rava, and Tarnat Be'chizka Ali B'Beis Hillel. They were all going to Beis Hillel's camp, that you have Mitoich. And therefore, if you have Mitoich, you don't need to start talking about Asei Dechalois. So according to the Yireim, we have no idea what Abaye, Rava, and Bechiski hold about whether or not Yom Tov has a Lois Asei and Asei. They didn't go down that path because they were going a whole different angle. They were working the Mitoich. They started off saying this should be Mutter on the Mitoich because they hold like Beis Hillel. And they hold this is considered a Mitoich. To which the Gemara said, no, I have Xeris Akasav knocking this and Xeris Akasav knocking that. What do they hold about the Shaila of Asei Dechalois? We have no idea. Reb Ashi was the only one who went this path because Reb Ashi was the one who didn't hold of Mitoich. So that's not going to be a starting point. He has to start with a different point of Asei Dechalois.
Is this a discussion only because Easter,
yes. Yes. Good. We're going to get to that at some point.
But assuming that they, why would they not necessarily go with it? So if
who?
No, I'm saying
the other Amoraim or Reb Ashi.
No, Reb Ashi. I'm saying Reb Ashi went with.
I say the Chalitza. Say Reb.
So if, the, but if the others held that, which one takes precedence?
No, they thought to start a different angle. They started arguing, assuming that Yom Tov is okay. Mila Shabbos is manas deich Yom Tov because of Mitoich.
But you have two concepts.
What's the other concept?
You have
Mitoich.
And you have Rav Ashi. And you have Rav Ashi's...
Right, but Rav Ashi is a secondary... Rav Ashi's more complicated because you have to figure out if is it a Lois Asei and an Asei. So Rav Ashi's like, you know, the question is really the other way. We asked before, why did Rav Ashi, no one else say like Rav Ashi? Lefinat Vakeret. Why did Rav Ashi say the way he said it? Why didn't he go the more conventional route of Mitoich? The answer is because he doesn't hold of Mitoich.
One more question.
That's what he said.
So you hold Mitoich, but they're saying that these...
Here the Torah says exceptions, right.
So the concept of Mitoich doesn't apply.
Right. So I would have said, it's because this is not under the... Mitoich means it has to be Letzarech Yom Tov. I would argue spiritual needs are not needs Letzarech Yom Tov. Says Yom, that's not the Pshat. We'll see some Achrayim do say that.
The Pshat is that...
The Torah said.
Okay, so... Why would the Torah pick like the three most holy?
I agree with you.
Karbonos,
so I would have.
Mila, I mean,
so if I would have said such a single Torah, someone would have told me, "Why don't you say that the Torah is teaching you the lumdus?" The Yireim says, "No, my lumdus still stays in play." And the Torah tells me, "Strange cases." It's not the way we would have learned it.
Why is it so pashut that this would be mitoch? Even just by definition, this isn't really shkita. You're extending it so far.
No, I mean, it's not true.
Why?
If a person gives a mila, an unnecessary mila, he'd get the eser shaychet. That's what the Rashi and Taisa say, Masechah Shabbos. Now, we don't understand why it is that way, but that's true. If you watch someone cutting off someone's arla on Shabbos, you'd have to be masterim, don't do shechita on Shabbos. That's the story you'd have to give him, because that's the malacha. If you hold that's the malacha. We'll talk about it in a few.
Gozes is mutter on Yom Tov?
It's funny, I thought Gozes was not mutter. I found the sefer, which I quoted on the paper, it says Gozes is mutter.
Why? Don't we only say from certain halachas?
Yes, we'll talk. What? Shirik. There's a sheet we showed him that holds that the reason why you're not allowed to do Mila is because it's like Shirik. We're getting slightly ahead of ourselves because I still want to come back to this. Could be. That's the other way. That's right. He's passing like Beishan. Very strange. Okay, so now it's going to get even more complicated. Now, why is it going to get more complicated? Because we have a Tosfos that we learned a while back on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. If you remember, we had a sugya of Mila B'Tzaras. Okay, we learned Mila B'Tzaras for quite a few weeks. What happens by Mila B'Tzaras? The halacha is if someone has a Tzaras on his Mila, so you're allowed to cut off the Mila. Why? Because it says in the Torah, B'Sar, and you're allowed to cut off a Mila, even though by doing so, you're going to cut off the Tzaras. So Tosfos has a Kasha, Vim Toimer. We have a rule, Ein Asei Deiche, Lois Asei V'Asei, right? We know that Tzaras is a Lois Asei V'Asei. So, Frek Taisvis, if I have Xeris HaKosev, then I'm allowed to cut off a Mila. Even though by cutting off the Mila, I'm cutting off the Tzaras. So, shouldn't that teach me Asei Deiche, Lois Asei V'Asei? I have a special Xeris HaKosev Bissar that the Torah permitted me to cut off a Tzaras, even though, cutting off a Mila, even though knowing it's a Tzaras. So, why don't I learn this out as a Mekor, L'chola Terekula of Asei Deiche, Lois Asei V'Asei?
And then that's off only Ravashi, right?
Oh, 1 second. Number 4. Why don't I learn out L'chola Torah Kula from Mila B'Tzaras that the Torah does permit Asay to beat out a Lois Asay V'Asay?
And what's the Asay and the Lois Asay?
By Mila? By Tzaras?
Yeah.
There's a pasuk that says you're not allowed to cut it off. And we had, there's another pasuk that says Hishomer. Hishomer. That if we guard the Tzaras. Guard the Tzaras means don't cut it off. So we learn it out a Lois Asay and an Asay from Tzaras. Now, Frek Taisis, why is this not the Mekor L'chola Torah Kula? Listen to this answer. V'yesh Loimar, Ma'ala Mila Shekei Nichrusu Alei Yud Gimel Brises. So Taisis says, no, you can't do that. Mila is the exception. It's such a holy mitzvah, because the Torah wrote the word bris 13 times. It's the exception to the rule. It's not the rule. So therefore, says Taisis, don't try to learn out L'chola Torah Kula for every other mitzvah under the sun that I say, Dechalois, I say, Vasei, because Mila is unique. Shekei Nichrusu Alei Yud Gimel Brises.
Maybe I should just learn from logic. Why do I need a Gezeres HaKosev from the Torah?
Then
just
what?
My logic that this isn't an asay. The general rule is asay is not dochalos and asay no losa say. But I know that this is the gemel brisa, so the Torah doesn't have to tell me now a special pasuk.
No, so I don't know if I can say that on my own. This is only after the fact. Taisus is saying after the fact that the Torah does it, I can tell you why the Torah did it. But who says I have the right to do that on my own? We're going after the fact.
I don't know.
But today's whole kasha was on the after the fact. After the Torah permitted the Mila, I start to scratch my head. Why?
Something else.
Right, so exactly. Right,
else.
But Rabbi said, what's the obvious kasha?
Ravashi
is a Pella now.
Right.
So what Ravashi said.
Rambam, right?
Ah, very good. Very good. Okay, you're 3 steps ahead of me. Very good. Okay, we'll get to that. So, Frank de Marsha, what's going on over here? Frank de Marsha, you told me I can't learn out all of the mitzvahs from Mila that I say, Dechalois, I say, Vasei. I'll plug it back to Mila. Where's their example of Mila going up against the Lois Asei Vasei? Mila Shlei Bezmane on Yom Tif. Rabbi Ashi told me I'm not allowed to do a Mila Shlei Bezmane on Yom Tif because Ein Asei Deicha Lois Asei Vasei. Why don't I learn that Mila from Taras and Mila? You have the same with Gimel Brises.
The two Gimel Brises, Toso says, but where do we really have that?
That's yes.
Gemara, right?
That's a Gemara. Right? But there is a Machloikis Achroinim.
He's arguing on that.
So he can't argue on. The question is there Yud Gimel Brises on a Mila Shalei Bezmane? That's a Machloikis Rishainim. Is there Yud Gimel Brises on a Mila Shalei Bezmane?
Why not?
So that's a Machloikis Rishainim. There is an opinion of a Taisvis. I think it's, we quoted this a while back in one of the 50-something shurim we already did on this. There is a Taisvis in, I think it's Nedarim, with Taisvis or someone there, someone has a comment that there's no Yud Gimel Brises, only a Mila Bezmane. So that would answer this question.
That's right, it's not the shop.
Okay, the question is, the Mila, whatever this Mila of the Gimel Brises, obviously the Mashah doesn't think like that, right? The Mashah and his Kasha assumes not like that, because Mashah is a Gevaldik Kasha. In fact, the Mashah, the takeaway from this little Taisvis is that Mila has a power to go up against Allah. Just no other mitzvah does. So, Frek de Marsha, terrific. And our Gemara in Rabashi, we want Mila to go up against Alois Asei Vasei. What are you going to tell me? Yud Gimel Brises? We're talking about Mila. We're not talking about the Achilas Karban Pesach. So, Frek de Marsha, why is it that Mila doesn't beat out Alois Asei Vasei based on this taste? So, one answer you can give is that there's no Yud Gimel Brises on a Mila Shabbat Bismana. The Marsham quotes, we show him that whole idea. But that's the kasha of the Marsha. Says the Marsha.
That's the same reason we don't do it on Shabbos.
No, Mila. Well, that's another question.
B'Shabbos, why don't we do it?
That's a machloekes achrayin in the case. If Mishnah talks about it, I wasn't sure if we're going to get into it today. That's a question.
You are now.
Yeah, I know. Not by choice. there's a question. There's a question about that. Why Taka or not?
Right.
And Achram, we talk about it. The Pashup Shas, there's no Pasuk.
Even if it's not, your Gimel Brises is like.
There's a mila to it. The question is, Taisus makes a comment that this is Gimel Brises. So let's see the Mashal. This is a Gavaldig Mashal over here.
By the way, what does that mean? In a Baisham layman, Yud Gimel Brises. What are the Yud Gimel?
Says the word bris 13 times in the Parashat Mila. Yeah, that's it. That's all it is.
That's what it is?
That's what the words mean. Well, why that's a big deal, you got to ask in a Dirish. I don't know. That's beyond my pay scale. I don't know. Something that you'll hear at a bris somewhere where someone will try to explain the Gimel Brises. What does that mean? What's the Maila? What's the Chashivas of the Mitzvah? So the Mashavi has a Kasha. Number five. Okay, Dr. Mashav. Achish the dark thing in Tirutzim Maspik says the Mashal Tosis answer is not sufficient. Hocha da kati kosh l'Ravashi because I still have a kash according to Ravashi. Like I'm on the milah shabbos mana in the deichi yomtiv. Shem the havel yomtiv. I say v'lois I say. Vein I say deichi lois I say. Nigma me hocha me milah shabbos mana do have eli I say v'deichi tzaras do I say v'lois I say. That kash we mentioned before says the Mashal there's a Tosis in Yevamis. Very interesting Tosis in Yevamis. We know that we learn out from Klai and Betzitzis. I say derech alois asay. So Taisa says, Akasha, why don't you learn that from Sreifas Kachim that ain't asay derech alois asay? Remember we mentioned before that you're not allowed to burn Kachim on Yom Tov. Why not? So the first three Teretzim of the Gemara are Gzeres HaKosov. The last Teretz of the Gemara is because Yom Tov is alois asay va'asay. So presumably everyone else in that Gemara assumes Yom Tov is a regular laugh. And yet, I have Gzeres HaKosov up and down that I can't burn Kachim on Yom Tov. Why? Because ain't asay derech alois asay. So frek Taisus and Yevamis, so why don't I learn that from Sreifas Kachim ain't asay derech alois asay? Very unique question.
The Iranian answered that question.
The Iranian. That's you're right. The Iranian answered that question by his chiddush. Yeah. So Tosfos is bothered with his kasha. So the Mashal quotes Tosfos. He writes like this. Tosfos says, you see the little test on the left side. You see how the masik hasam dasid echlesi afilu meklaim betzitz. Hikshu at Tosfos sham. Vim toimer ad the alfi meklaim betzitz the dochi. Why do we learn from klaim betzitz dasid echlesi? Say neilf mesrivas kachim deloy dochi. Kedashin ad boik litam bakushen esrivasa. Yesh loimer. This is all Tosfos in Yevamis. The shani hasam doy botla mitzvasa bekach. V'yochel esafar acha yomtiv. Says Tosfos, do you know why you can't learn out from mesrivas kachim? Because mesrivas kachim, you could do it for the same price. You could do it the next day, the exact same price. If you take this Tosfos in Yevamis, we can answer our kasha. What was our kasha? Says Tosfos, do you know why in our Gemara we're not going to say that Milah Shleib Ezmanah is Deiche? Because there's no pushing reason to do so. So you didn't do it today, you'll do it tomorrow.
So already you're doing a little bit.
It's a Midrash Shabbos Manah.
But didn't we say every second you're over in a
second? Good, we'll get to that. We'll get to the Dvar Rambam in a second. Blineder. Dailam ate their breakfast this morning, I said. Okay.
There was the coffee.
Alik. Okay, good. So we'll get to that in a second. But Zok Taisis, what's the difference? If I have a mitzvah that I'm going to lose, I won't be able to do the mitzvah, right? Klein betzitzis, if I don't put tzitzis on the baguette, so I'm going to lose the mitzvah.
But don't wear the baguette.
Put it on a different
baguette. Right, but I won't have this mitzvah.
No mitzvah to put a tzitzis on a baguette is only a mitzvah to wear a baguette that has tzitzis. Or a lav not.
That's a machlokes in the Gemara. If it's tzitzis chayvas gavra, it's tzitzis chayvas baguette. That's a machlokes in the Gemara.
Yeah. That's why we put
machlokes in the Gemara menachas. Yeah. Really? We talked about this way back in the beginning. One of the earlier shurim, we spoke about this machlokes in the Gemara menachas. Yeah. So Zok to Marsha, so what's the point? The point is like this. When he talks about a milah shleib zman, he says tzitzis. You can make it up. Why do I have to push Yom Tov off? So when is Asay Dechalois Asay Vasay? That's when I'm going to lose it. Why am I going to lose it by Tzaras? Says the Mashal, because maybe the baby will never get better. If I don't do the Mila Bitzaras, I'll maybe never get the Mila, because maybe the baby will never heal. For his whole life, I'll never be able to do the mitzvah. So Zok to Mashal, then Asay Dechalois Asay Vasay. But when I have an Asay, which I, for the same price I could do tomorrow, then there is no impetus to do it now. Ain't Asay Dechalois Asay Vasay. That's the Marshal's answer.
How come
there's an usual
lashon
davar sheyish lo matir? Who? Frek and that can't be the pshat. That's not what Rabashi said. That's not the words of Rabashi. The words of Rabashi are actually mashed with the exact opposite. According to this Marshal, it comes out a whole new cheshbon. The only time I say zdechaleis I say is when it's ef shelaseis lamocha. If you look in the words of Ravashi, the implication you get from Ravashi is, if Yom Tov would have not been an Asay as well, if Yom Tov would have just been a Lav, then Avad would be Asay Dechalaisa. What are you talking about? How could it be Asay Dechalaisa? Say, you can wait. So, Frekta B'chon, it's a Pella. How could the Marashah plug this back into Tosfos?
It doesn't mean it's not an Asay, just because you can do it tomorrow doesn't
But the Marashah is saying that if you have an example of an Asay Dechalaisa, say, where you could do it tomorrow, then you're talking about Doichim.
Yeah, because there's two reasons why you... Two things you would be violating by doing the essay today. So if you can do the essay tomorrow, you shouldn't violate it.
Right.
But if it's just one against one, It's still an aseh.
No, but that was Tosfos' answer in Yevamos. Tosfos and Yevamos told us that aseh versus alois aseh, when the aseh could be done equally tomorrow, it's not doicha. Rabashi seems to say not like that. Rabashi seems to say that if it would only be a lav, avad, the midla shalei b'zman would be doicha.
I'm not sure there's really no difference between an aseh versus an alois aseh and an aseh versus an aseh and alois aseh.
At least in Mila, at least in the circle of Mila, because Mila has yidgim al-brisas. Again, limiting it to Mila.
There's no difference.
Because Mila has,
and for anything else,
for anything else, we can't learn Halachot Kula because Mila is Yidgim Abrisus. That was Taisus' answer. So we're in a small group of, we have just Mila related issues, and then in Mila we're splitting it and saying those Mila that's Efshal Asay Slamacha versus a Mila that's Efshal Asay Slamacha.
It depends how you understand Asay Dochalosa as Yochutra Dochuya. Meaning if it's Kutra,
yeah, okay.
But then that's how you read Ravashi that even if it's Efshal Asay Slamacha.
Oh, okay, yeah. Could be. And all right. This is Tosfos is Chiddush. Right now, you can argue on this. Tosfos is Chiddush. Now the Fizeh. If you assume the Mashos Kasha is still a Kasha, now we go back to explain a Shver Rambam that we had many, many weeks ago. We had a Rambam in number 7. The Rambam's opinion was, Mila B'tziras is Aseh D'chalois Aseh. Talk to Rambam in number 7. Misha, he said, Beheres Bar Losoi, someone has a Tziras on his Orla, Yimo, he does the Mila. The Afbi, she Mila Shabbazman, even though it's Mila Shabbazmanoi, she mitzvah Aseh D'chalois Lois Aseh. The Rambam says Mila Shabbazmanoi, I'm sorry, the Rambam says Mila B'tziras is Aseh D'chalois Aseh. The problem is against the Mefurish Gemara and Shabbos, which we learned together. The Gemara says Mefurish that Mila B'tziras is an Aseh and a Lois Aseh. How could the Rambam say it's only a lois aseh? So the Mishnah Melech that we quoted before, the Mishnah Melech writes over there because the Rambam was paskening a certain sheet of Reb Ashi. Who's Reb Ashi? There's a Reb Ashi in Kuf Lamed Beis about half an omid before our Gemara where Reb Ashi has a comment that the example of Kol HaTorah Kula of aseh derech lois aseh is Mila B'tzaras. So says the Rambam, what are you getting mad at me? I'm following Reb Ashi. Says the Divrei Yecheskel. Who was the Divrei Yecheskel?
Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky.
Nope, that was the Chazon Yecheskel. Close. The Divrei Yecheskel was one of the earliest members of the Slobodka Koyla. In the early 1920s, the Alta from Slobodka already had a Slobodka Yeshiva. He decided he's going to gather together the creme de la creme of Jungalite and start a Koyla for them in Slobodka. So who did he gather? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was in that Koyla. Rabbi David Leibowitz, Rabbi Henoch Leibowitz's father was in that Koyla. Rabbi David Leibowitz had a rabbinic position already. He left his rabbinic position to go to Koyel. Very rarely do you hear people leave a rabbinic job to join a Koyel, unless it's a really good paying Koyel. So Rabbi Elephant did the same shtick. Rabbi Elephant, when he was ready in America, he tried to build an elitist Koyel also. The best, the creme de la creme of Bach, of Jungalite, and he had a Koyel. The problem was his yeshiva and bar park closed, so they had to all become Rabbeim. That's what happened. Okay. That's how my yeshiva got started, because they all had to become Rabbeim. In any case, they still wish they could be back in Koyel. But in any case, I also wish I could be back in Koyel. But in any case, so the Slobodka Koyel opened in the early 1920s, and the deal was you have to learn in the Koyel for 5 years. Then after you finish learning, you take a rabbinic position. And then you help support the Koyel. That was the way it worked. So all the younger light had to go around supporting, raising funds. That's why Reb David Leibowitz ended up in America, because he had to raise money. And once he was in America, Reb Shraga Feivel liked him, and he brought him into Tarvei Das to be a Magid Chair in Tarvei Das until they had internal politics like everywhere else. And he opened up his own yeshiva in 1933, and then he passed away very young in 1941. And what day did Reb David Leibowitz die? Pearl Harbor. His levaya was the morning of Pearl Harbor, Sunday morning, December 7th. That was his levaya. Died, well, he was in his early 50s when he died. But so who else? So Yaakov Kamenetsky was in that koil. Yaakov Kamenetsky was one of the members in that koil. That's why Yaakov left Europe to raise money. They all had to raise money. The way it worked in that koil was a very special koil. They used to have chaburas, and the chaburas used to be in the koil people's homes. Until one time, there was a big debate, and one of the chaburas and the wives was listening in the kitchen, and she heard her husband was getting a shtickle bombarded with kashas. And after everyone left, she told her husband, I thought you know how to learn. What happened? Everyone was asking bomb kashas on you. I thought you know how to learn. So they decided to change it. No more chaburas in the home. The chaburas have to be
ice in
the yeshiva. So it was a very chashuv koil. The koil went on till Amamsh, up to the war. Then at some point, the koil combined with the Kovna koil. Kovna and Slobodka were right across the river from each other. So Kovna also had a koil. They combined with Slobodka Koyel and the Dvar Avram, which we'll hopefully get to today also, maybe not. The Dvar Avram was the Kovna Rav, so he got involved. And Rabbi Yaakov, when he was in the Slobodka Koyel, did like real shimush by the Kovna Rav. And people forget, Rabbi Yaakov was a big Pesach. He was a Rav first, and then he became a Rosh Yeshiva later. Today, many of the Rosh Yeshivas don't know too much about Pesach Halacha, but Rabbi Yaakov was a real Pesach. Rabbi Yaakov, again, people forget, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Moshe, we all try to, you know, who was what and where, but they each were Goyim and Torah, and they were both big Paiskim. Rabbi Yaakov held himself to be a Paiskim because he was a Rav for many years. He learned in the Koyel, he did Shemesh under the Dvar Avram. So in this Koyel, they had this fellow known as the Chazon, the Divrei Yecheskel, Yecheskel Bornstein. Chazkel Bornstein. He ended up becoming Rosh Yeshiva in a yeshiva called Or Yisrael, which was opened up by the Alter from Slobodka's son. I could not find out if he survived the Holocaust. I asked someone who told me that his son-in-law did not survive the Holocaust. I don't know if he did survive the Holocaust, but his Torah definitely survived. He has a Sefer Divrei Chazkel, very nice commentaries, nice stuff on Shas. But he was one of the early members of the Slobodka Koil. Reb Huttner was not in the Koil. I think people are mistaken. No. Huttner was part of the Slobodka Yeshiva. Not in the Koil. They were in the Yeshiva. There was a Koil and a Yeshiva, like we have today. Reb Aaron was in Slobodka Yeshiva. Reb Huttner was in Slobodka Yeshiva. Reb Rudin was in Slobodka Yeshiva. Right. I don't think they were in the Koil. The Koil was mamash, an elite. A lead koil, handpicked by the altar. The altar went to David Leibowitz and told him, "Leave your rabbinic position, come to the koil." And then the Chavetz Chaim got mad at David Leibowitz.
The people in Lakewood that Rav Aaron didn't make it.
Think Rav Aaron might have already been. He might have been Kletzk already. Could be already left to Kletzk to be by his father-in-law. You have to check the years. But David Leibowitz got a big flack from his uncle, the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim said to him, "You're a koyin. How do you don't know anything about Kachim? What are you going to do when the Beis HaMikdash comes tomorrow? You're not going to know anything about Kachim." And they were learning Hilchos Shabbos in the koil. He yelled at him. The grad ended up learning the Slobodka Koil Kachim for a bunch of years. I don't know if that was the reason. But he left. He left his rabbinic position to take a koil. It was a very elitist koil, Slobodka.
How large was it?
Huh?
How large was it?
Very, wasn't small, 10, 15 guys? A small, really an elitist koil of the best that Europe had to offer. Many of them did not survive. Many of them did not survive the war. Rabbi Yaakov survived. And I don't know if this Divi Cheskov, David Leibowitz survived because he left in 1926. When they went to fundraise in America, that's when they got exposed to America and they were able to survive. They were able to make it. I was talking to somebody, but David Leibowitz came to America for 2 years. He was without his family. He was by himself in America for 2 years in Tel Aviv. And then only later he brought over his family. Then in 1933, after the Chavetz Chaim was nifter, he opened his own yeshiva. And he only had it for a few years. And it was nifter already in 1941. But that was the Slobodka Koil. Okay, recap of the Slobodka Koil. So the Divrei Yecheskel was one of the elite members. What?
The Or Yisrael that was in Queens.
I'm not sure if there's a connection. I was trying to figure that out.
Who's that, Rabbi Keltzer?
Yeah, I couldn't find the connection. But the Slobodka, the Alter son, opened the yeshiva called Or Yisrael. My gut feeling is it didn't survive the war. But the Divrei Yecheskel was Rabbi Yecheskel Bornstein. Okay. Rabbi Yecheskel Bornstein. This is one of the classical Lachrenish Shesvarim. So Zogti Rabbi Yecheskel, beautiful. He says, how did the Rambam know that Mila, now we have this all background, now you hear what he has to say. How did the Rambam know that Mila is only a lav and not a asay also? He says, beautifully, it's Rabbi Ashi Lishitosoi. That Saras is only a lav. It's Rabbi Ashi Lishitosoi. Says the Devi Cheskel number 9, Valkei Nir Muchach Mizeh, the Rav Ashi Polig Be'ikra Hayisoit. Rav Ashi argues on the whole premise of Taisvis and Shabbos Kuf Lamed Beis that says that Milo B'Tzeras is an Asay and Alois Asay. And he holds what? Ein El Alois Asay L'chud. U'mishum Hachi Asi Asay, the Milo B'Deichi L'Akechol Asay, Deichol Asay Asay Ba'alma. Rav Ashi is the same Rav Ashi that Taisvis quoted and the Rambam quoted that holds Milo is just a laugh.
What does he do with the Pasuk B'Shama?
He learns it a different way. The Gemara talks about it. So therefore, it's beautiful, Zakta, the Divrei Cheskel. Im Kain, so Reb Ashi himself holds Mila B'Tzeras is a regular Asay Decheloise Asay. What was the Marshal's Kasha? You, Reb Ashi, that hold Ein Asay Decheloise Asay Vasay, learn after Mila B'Tzeras that it is. What do you mean learn from Mila B'Tzeras? Mila B'Tzeras is not Asay and Eloise Asay, according to Reb Ashi. Reb Ashi Lishitosai, who's the member in our Gemara, holds Mila B'Tzeras is merely a lav. So what's the Marshal's Kasha? Learn after Mila B'Tzeras, Asay Decheloise Asay Vasay, but Reb Ashi holds Mila B'Tzeras is only a lav. So Mila is like the Devi Cheskel. That's goofy where the Rambam got it from. A very, very nice Shtikl Torah, how to make everything work out. The Torah Tamima, in his commentary to Chumash, we've spoken about the Torah Tamima's legacy already. He was the son of Diarach HaShulchan. And people don't know who his grandfather was. Who was the Torah Tamima's grandfather? Who was the Torah Tamima's uncle? And it's Siv. The Torah Tamima was his brother-in-law. My uncle, the Netziv. If you want to read a good book, you read the book, my uncle, my Netziv. Yeah. The Torah Tamima was the son of the Aruch HaShulchan. But remember, the Aruch HaShulchan had a daughter who got divorced from her first husband because she thought her first husband doesn't know how to learn. So she thought he wasn't enough of the Talmud Chacham.
He also had a chabur in the house?
No, he was grand, a reputable Talmud Chacham. But she thought he doesn't know how to learn. So she decided she'd rather be single than be married to an Amaretz. Okay. So she needed someone to marry. So she married her uncle. Her uncle was the Netziv. This is the Netziv's second marriage. So she married her uncle, the Netziv, who was much older than her, but she wanted to be married to a Gadol. She ended up having, from that marriage, she had the Torah Tamim. She had the Torah Tamim, was born from that marriage. So is that the Torah Tamim was born from that, is that right? No. Yeah. Reb Chaim Berlin is born from, how's that going in? Reb Meir Berlin is from that marriage, right. Reb Meir Berlin, or Meir Bar Ilan, as we all know, is a brother to Reb Chaim Berlin. the yeshiva in New York, right? Large years in between the two of them. So the Torah Tamima quotes from his uncle, the Nitziv, but sometimes he says my brother-in-law, the Nitziv. Torah Tamima died in the Holocaust. Torah Tamima was a businessman. He didn't have a rabbinic position. It's funny, his swarma learned mamish like everyone learns them in Chomish, they're beautiful. He wasn't, no rabbinic post his entire life. He worked in business in, his whole life. And he used to tell people that you should always write stuff down. If you have a nice word on the parasha, write it down. Because he used to do that. He used to write down. And he wrote a beautiful sefer called Torah Tamim. He has a lot of chedushim in there, but it's an accepted sefer. So the Torah Tamim has come to answer up a kasha. We have a kasha, we mentioned this earlier, why don't we learn from kachim that ein asei dechal eis asei. Again, we started off that you're not allowed to burn kachim in Yom Tov. Why should I be allowed to burn kachim in Yom Tov? I say, then I have all these psukim that say you can't. So, frek taisis and Shabbos, daf chafei, why don't I learn out from hilcha tarakula, ein asei dechalaisase? So, the Tekmimu comes up with an interesting answer. If you look over here in the bottom left corner, he writes, veli nira pimashkosva taisis be irvin, te vermaskon matan, te hechada asei bo aide pshio, os pshita de kola mehalaisase. This is an interesting idea. If you have an asei that's only there because you messed up, meaning some aseis are there intrinsically. Hashem wants you to do it. Then there's an asei only because you messed up. For example, v'heishev esek zeila. Why do I have to return zeila? Because I messed up and I stole. So that's an asei bo aidei pshia. He says when you have an asei bo aidei pshia, it's automatically going to be lower than alois asei. So Dr. Terry to me, very nice over here. What's the asei over here? Burn what you left over. Well, you shouldn't have left it over in the first place to burn it. So now the asei is going to go up against the lav of Yom Tif, you're going to lose. So don't bring me a ray l'chol ha-terei kula, ein asei dechal eis asei, because only over here, ein asei dechal eis asei, because over here the asei was because you messed up. But if I...
It's a week.
But let's say, right, so let's say I have an asei like a midrash of his man, where there was no, assuming there was no negligence, then avada maybe would be deicha. So therefore, zok t'tar t'mima, the only time we don't say asei deicha lois asei, don't learn it from Sreifas Kachim, because Sreifas Kachim is unique because the asei was bo'o ayidei pshiusa. As opposed to a regular asei, like that was coming because Hashem told you to do something, then in such a case, we don't say asei deicha lois asei.
If you know there's a different type of shia, because it's a shame for mice, he didn't do anything.
Okay, could be.
It's like Zayla, where you act.
So, Belina had to